to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And wow, am I excited. I am so excited to be next to one of the holiest men I've ever met in my entire life, Deacon Dan Diesel. Welcome back to the show, Deacon.
Thank you, Deacon Steve.
And you've been with, as part of the diaconate now, how many years?
I was ordained in 2015, so that's 7 years.
7 years. It seems like it's like 17 years. You are one of the most amazing deacons at Santiago de Compostela in Lake Forest.
Correct.
Is just an amazing parish with an amazing pastor, right? And tell us about the pastor.
Our pastor's Father Thomas, he's been there since 2013 and very hospitable, but very concerned about meeting each individual's spiritual needs. So throughout all our parish's activities, there's so many unique ways he's reached out, ways I would never even imagined. That working with him has been exciting. You can just see, you see the work of the Holy Spirit every day, from just little things to our environment in terms of raising donations to create a walk of saints. During the pandemic, as people were very frustrated that we had to close the church at just before Easter, we had the situation where he created a walking stations of the cross, socially distanced, so people could still come on our campus and experience the stations of the cross, even if we couldn't meet as a community.
He's one of the most dynamic pastors and priests I've ever met.
Absolutely.
And I've been so blessed to be part of the world somewhat in terms of having a number of different events at your parish. As part of Spiritful Hearts Ministry, such as a big Divine Mercy Conference, for example, and other things that we've done there. And he, of course, we've done fundraising for Tondo in the Philippines, because as you mentioned, Father Thomas is Filipino, and but just very, very holy, holy man, as you are a very holy man. Now, I say that, you know, and one of the things that is so amazing to me is that during the pandemic, did you not have Mass like 5 a.m. or something?
Yeah, at first we were doing our daily Mass at 5 a.m., mainly because the first week we started having technical problems. We're not set up as well as you are here at the radio. So we realized that if we had to do a couple Masses twice, so in other words, we did it and realized that we were not posting or not projecting to the internet, so therefore we started over. But then we just continued doing Masses at 5 a.m., and then we... From that, we had now established a second daily Mass at 6 a.m. As when we opened the church up, we realized that there's a lot of people who want to attend daily Mass, but at 8 o'clock, that's really only a daily Mass for the retired. So we have about 60 to 70 people come every morning at 6 a.m., which is directly from us starting that.
So just a little bit, and this might be interesting for you, Michael, our producer here. It was really important to me. I was doing some of that. I can't remember where right now, but I always like to go to Mass before, like, radio show. We went to 8 o'clock Mass here this morning, but I couldn't do the normal 8 a.m. Mass. So I looked all through the diocese. Where could I go to get an early Mass, like 6:30 or whatever it might be? And lo and behold, I found Santiago at 6 a.m. and I show up there and there's all these people. And of course, Deacon's there, you know, I mean, every time I've been there, you've been there. It is amazing, but it just shows the responsiveness of this incredible parish and pastor and deacon. Is there another deacon there? Or
Deacon Ricardo is also there. He was in my class of 2015.
Nice.
He ministers mostly to the Spanish speaking community.
Nice.
I know I used to joke that the only Spanish I knew was Amen and Hallelujah. But now I've learned how a few other Spanishes as I've led a few bilingual services.
Oh, wow.
But I can read it if someone puts it right in front of me phonetically.
Well, you're way ahead of me. So now, walking the Orange County Camino de Santiago, this is a very important event that you have, And this is the first time you've had it now. This will be in 3 years, right?
Yeah, 2019 was the last time because of the pandemic. We were unable to have it in 2020 and 2021.
And when did this start, this walk?
This started about 2015 by our pastor. Going back a little bit, our church is named after a cathedral in Spain, which is a pilgrimage site. So, and it's the third most popular pilgrimage site in the world after Rome and Jerusalem.
Wow.
And for 1,000 years, pilgrims have been coming to, walking to the site. And one of the traditions is wherever you are in Europe, that is the beginning of your pilgrimage. And so you would walk from where you're at.
Oh, and, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
And so if I go to Italy, I start walking from Italy?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
And that's
unbelievable.
And that's been the pilgrimage for 1,000 years. And people would come and make the pilgrimage. And it's now a very popular pilgrimage in Spain to do this walk.
Wow. Wow.
And there's multiple ways. So that there's not one path. There's many paths. For example, our pastor, Father Thomas, took a sabbatical this year. And the day after Easter, he walked from Portugal into Spain. He walked 500 miles, starting in Lisbon, going to Santiago.
Once again, one of the holiest, most amazing men I've ever met. But that's fantastic. Now, you've been doing this walk. What's the purpose of the walk?
Well, the purpose of the walk is really community building and to bring the Spirit into the hearts of the people who do it. It's not about, let's see how fast we can walk. Let's see if we can get into shape. But it's more about journeying. The city requires us to break our groups into groups of 25. Pre-pandemic, we had about 800 each year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would break in groups of 25 to walk, but that becomes a small community. And many times I know when I've done the journey, I'm meeting people, even though I may have seen them at church. Hi, how are you? But I have no idea what even their name is.
Mm-hmm.
That allows me to journey with them. We stop and pray. We stop and reflect on scripture. And then we use that as an opportunity to build the community. So this year, our theme is We Will Rise Again. And from that theme, all our reflections are helping us recognize that despite the difficulties in the world, the Spirit is leading us, and each one of us is called to be part of that journey. So each mile, we stop. That allows people who maybe don't walk very much to have a rest each mile and to have the time to do that prayer and reflection.
And when is the actual event this year?
The actual event will be July 23rd. It's tied into the Feast of St. James the Apostle, because this cathedral in Spain is named after Santiago, and his feast is on the 25th. So we always pick the Saturday closest to his feast day.
And what time does it begin?
Begins at 5 a.m.
This is so typical of this parish. Isn't this unbelievable?
But you don't have to be there at 5 a.m. because we have to bus people. What we do is from our church, we bus people uphill so they can walk downhill.
Oh.
So we bus people either 4 miles away or 7 miles away. So the first 2 hours, we're busing people 7 miles away to do the longer walk, because some people like to do the longer walk. And then from 7 to 9 a.m., we're busing people 4 miles away. And then we do this so that all the groups make sure they arrive back at the church by 11:30, where we have a community mass, a pilgrim mass. And this year, Bishop Timothy Fryer will be the presider of our pilgrim mass. And then we have a lot of food after.
If our producer goes on it, I'm going to go on it. So you'll be there at 5 a.m., I'm sure.
I will be there probably a little before 5 a.m.
Well, I've got it on my calendar.
Oh, okay. I would love to have you come walk with us.
Yeah, this is exciting. So I'm praying that I'm going to do this, because
excellent.
I've always wanted to do this, and I believe in what you guys are doing so much, because it is transformative.
And that's what we try to do. Amazingly, prior to the pandemic, we've been growing every year through word of mouth, through experience. Our first year, we only had 200 people. And 2019, our last year, I believe it was 850 people. And
so you wouldn't even know I'm there. I mean,
oh, not true. I greet my job is usually I'm in charge of the loading of the buses and the opening prayer and stuff. So each group I work with is an opening prayer. So at least I see each group through the morning.
And does your parking lot hold that many people?
Well, hopefully they can. Yeah, well, our church holds 800.
Yeah, so it's parking lot is filled.
Yeah.
And they're coming at probably various times, too. So,
yeah.
But in any case, that's really, really amazing. Now, 7 miles or 4 miles, how do people do they sign up ahead of time?
Yeah, you need to sign up. You should sign up ahead of time. Register at our parish website, which is SDC Catholic. SDC stands for Santiago de Compostela. We didn't make you spell that all out, but SDCCatholic.org. The people who sign up, we will give them preferences on loading on the bus because it's kind of a first come, first serve. Invariably, what happens, there's a long line right at 5 a.m. because everyone wants to be in the first group.
Wow.
And so whoever shows up first, they get the, but once we get.
So basically, I have to show up at 4:30 is what you're saying.
Yeah. Or show up at 5:30 and there'll already been four or five buses and you'll be on like the sixth bus.
And so basically then, I want to get the logistics down here.
Sure.
So they go, their bus, let's say at the 5 a.m. time.
Yeah, the
7 miles.
They'd be bused to the 7 miles. We bus to the, near where St. Michael's Abbey used to be. St. Michael's Abbey has moved to a new beautiful spot. So, but that's the beginning of the bike trail. There's a county bike trail that goes all the way almost to the ocean that starts right there where the Abbey used to be. So we start right at the beginning of that bike trail.
So let's assume now I'm on this 5 a.m. bus with Jim Govanelli and Michael Omola. And so we're all together on this bus, Spiritful Hearts team. We'll get other people too. And is that okay? Can we bring people?
Oh, please.
And we're all registered. And so we make the drive up, get there, whatever, 5:30-ish or whatever.
Yep.
Then what?
Well, then you come into our parish hall, and then we have people that are basically staging there. We have to separate by, which walk you're wanting, as well as language, because we're a bilingual parish.
Right.
So you probably, if you don't speak Spanish, you probably want to be in an English group. So so as soon as we have 25 people in the Spanish group, we will send a Spanish group, Spanish-speaking group. Then you will be bused to the starting point. And then at about each mile, there's a stop. We call those stations. Similar to in the pilgrimage in Spain, you would have stations where you would rest. There we would have drinks. But then that's also where we have scripture reading, prayer, and reflections, and in some cases, some small activities. For example, at one of our stations, as we've been reflecting upon what are the hurts that we feel personally and the hurts that we recognize in the world. And then we're offering those up to God. Those become part of our pilgrim mass that will be later that morning.
So is this like a silent offering up? Tell me what happens at the stop.
Well, for example, we encourage people to write down short one or two words that symbolize what they're thinking about.
Okay.
But then we encourage people to walk with someone they do not know. So now that you're in a group of 25.
It shouldn't be difficult.
Well, we're in a group of 25. And so what we encourage is we're saying at each station, choose a different walking partner.
Okay.
So in other words, that way you get to meet somebody else. We usually offer one or two reflection starter questions, but people tend not to just reflect on the reflector starter because as you're walking a mile after you're done with reflection, sometimes you get to know people not much personally, may not have anything to do directly with the reflection itself.
So this is not a silent walk though?
Definitely not a silent walk.
Okay. So you're sharing as you go.
Yeah.
And then someone is leading. How many stations are there?
There's 7 stations.
Okay. And someone is leading the discussion?
At each station, we have station leaders, and their responsibility is to help people as the pilgrims come in and to give someone a 5 or 10 minute rest at each station. So at each station, because again, this walk is not about powering through and getting it done.
Right.
It's about, we spend 5 or 10 minutes at a station. The other thing we have to do just from a logistics standpoint is we have to keep the groups spaced because the city requires us to be in groups of 25 and we can't suddenly have 4 groups merge, because then the city would not be happy with us. But that actually works well because the smaller group is a more intimate setting.
Is each stop station, does it have a different theme to it?
Absolutely. We don't give the theme per se, but it's the theme is what's the prayer, the scripture, the prayer, and any activity, and then the discussion questions all tie together. For example, I mentioned one of the themes was identifying the hurts we see in the world and the personal hurts we have. Another theme is focused on...
That could go longer than 10 minutes. No, just kidding.
It absolutely could. But we ask people just to not write a book, but to maybe we ask them on we'll have a cross to write on, and that we're then going to put on a cross that will then be presented at Mass. So each person's hurts are going to be brought into Mass. Okay. But we tell them, you don't need to write out the book. Write one or two words that represent what your hurt is.
Wow.
So it's more of the symbolic offering. At another one of the stations, we're focused on what we fail to do. In other words, what have we failed to do to help other people or other things that have hurt, and what we should have done different? Kind of like when we say our confidio or at Mass, you know, what we have done and what we have failed to do. And at the Mass, we're going to tie that reflection into our penitential act.
Oh, that's awesome. And again, the theme of this year's...
We will rise again.
We will rise again. What's that mean to you?
Father Thomas was the one who developed that theme, and I think he was really thinking around the concept of we're restarting many things in our parish. It's really been, the whole pandemic, as the challenges that have been there, has been a great opportunity to re-resurrect what is important and what is not important in ministries. And he looks at this as being the first Camino that we've had, that in essence we will rise again, recognizing that it is Jesus who leads us, and it is in Jesus that we're doing this Camino, and it's through the Spirit that we will rise again.
Which is amazing. We're, again, so blessed to have Deacon Dan Diesel with us talking about this important walk for Camino de Santiago from Santiago de Compostela in Lake Forest, California, on July 23rd, beginning first walkers, or what are they called? Pilgrims?
Pilgrims is the word.
The first pilgrims arrive at 5 a.m., and you can arrive. How late can you arrive?
8:30.
8:30. So between 5 and 8:30. Until what time is the 7 miles?
The last 7 miles will leave at 7, because it takes about 3 hours, and we want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to get back in time for the Pilgrim Mass at 11:30. And the other thing I left out is there's a third group. There's people who cannot walk.
Okay.
And for people who cannot walk, we usually have about 70 to 100 people.
Mm.
We end up in our church, in the church, between 9 a.m. and 10:30. Mm. We do still do the same activities of the stations with then quiet reflection at what would have been the walk time, to allow that the people to still participate. We call those our prayer warriors.
That's fantastic. And so this is a gigantic event.
A lot of effort's gone in. It's coordinated by our faith formation director, Leanna Mar Medina. She's a wonderful lady and has done a great job coordinating it for few years before the pandemic, and as well as this year.
And so when we talk about, again, faith formation and development of faith, how does this walk help people get closer to Christ?
I think what we try to focus on, we recognize that not every person's at the same point.
And we're not at the same point at times, right?
No, we personally are not. But sometimes we're like, well, so what we try to do is appeal to people at our different points. As I tell people, it's just taking that first step. No pun was intended there, but to take the first step to try to begin your faith journey. So in many ways, as you look at each of the stations and you're praying, this is maybe an opportunity to say, there is something more that I could be doing in my life. There's a commitment that I could be making. It doesn't have to be that I'm going to be spending 20 hours a week. Maybe it's 5 minutes a day more in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think each person is encouraged to make that commitment. The other thing is I think it's so important we as Christians that we fellowship, because a lot of this is very much a social. We have a large feast after the Mass where...
Food?
Food, absolutely.
Oh, now I'm really excited. Okay.
And so we call it the Feast of St. James after we celebrate the Feast of St. James.
Is there a fee attached to the fee?
We do have a fee. It's $20. Okay. And that covers the buses and the food, as well as some of the supplies and things.
Do you pay that online ahead of time?
Pay that online. It's when you register, they give you a Venmo.
Got it. Okay.
And we will take registrations the day of. The challenge will be is that if you come the day of, we put you at the back of the line. So right. we people pre-register get preference because sometimes it's 1 year we were overrun. We've gotten better at the logistics, but 1 year we were overrun one with so many people coming the day of. We did not have enough provision for buses because we have to rent the right number of buses. So we need to kind of know how much we have in advance.
So in terms of communication, is this something that is widely distributed throughout the diocese, or is this mostly for the parish?
Oh, no, it's communicated for the diocese. It's obviously a parish event, but that we definitely are supporting, encouraging people from all over. We even have people coming from outside the diocese who've now come. And a lot of times as people invite their family and friends, and then from word of mouth, it gets spread again. We don't think we'll have we won't increase our 2019. We think it will be smaller this year because we've kind of lost a little bit of momentum, yeah. But we're going to begin the momentum again. We're not sure where the count is going to end up this year.
Well, we're certainly going to push it on Spiritful yeah. Hearts Radio here.
Well, thank you.
And everything that we do and this show, definitely will be heard on 3 radio networks too. So, because we have ESNI, which is our Spanish network, and then we also have our own internet network now, Spirit-Filled Radio. So tell us, you know, you've been a deacon now for since 2015, and, you know, it's been quite a ride the last few years, huh?
It's totally different. It was, in a way, as bad as it was, everything that's going, God's used good things out of it. I've seen such an increase in a lot of people's faith, recognizing just how important Christ is when all of a sudden it's not the same as.
Well, it was that really horrific time when we couldn't even go to Mass, remember?
And it was scary. I mean, it was scary even though myself and our Father Thomas and Father Martin, who's our parochial vicar, the three of us did daily Mass. And even at that point, my adult children specifically were saying, why are you leaving the house? You know, like feeling that my decision to go and go to church with two other people could be signing my death sentence.
Yeah.
And at that time, we really didn't know. But one of the funny things is when we were starting to do the daily masses, we decided that every third day, we each of us would do the homily. So the first time I got up to do the homily, it was extremely strange. I never realized how important it was to have a congregation to do a homily. Because all of a sudden, the third day, I get up there to start the homily, and I'm looking at an iPhone. And that's it. So one of the things our pastor did, we talked about that. We asked all our parishioners to send in their pictures. And
wow.
We put their pictures on the pews so that when we were doing the homilies, we were seeing the faces of the... Because we saw the statistics that we were having between 500 and 600 people watch our daily Mass. Mm-hmm. We were seeing to see their faces. Made it real that we're actually praying with people.
That's so awesome. So do you have something that we can put on our website, advertising?
Oh, absolutely. I can absolutely have our publicity person send that to you.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic because we'd like to really promote this. And
that would be great.
Especially since, you know, it's not just parishioners of the parish and we're looking for people who want to grow in their faith and want to get closer to Christ and want to have that self-examination of conscience, right? Mm-hmm. And saying, where am I right this second? You know, and what can I do to grow in my holiness?
And the funny thing is, I find when we start sharing with others, mm-hmm. we help develop our own faith. So a lot of times when we're journeying with someone, we don't even realize as we're sharing, it helps us, that allows the Spirit to come into us mm-hmm. and grow us. So that to me, just the process of walking with others.
Yeah, because it is about community. It is about growing in community and growing together in which all of us are struggling. You know, why is it that we think that everyone else has got it together but us. Do you notice that?
Absolutely.
I mean why do you think that is?
Well, I preached on that a couple of weeks ago.
Seriously? Tell us about that.
Well, I was preaching on that a couple of weeks ago is that, you know, we're always harder on ourselves, and that we always recognize our own faults, our own shortcomings, and if we don't turn those back over to God, and other people always project the good side. They're not sharing their shortcomings. For example, growing up,
that's a great point.
Growing up, pictures. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen I don't think I have any pictures of my children ever fighting with each other.
Yeah, right.
Because soon as the camera comes out, here comes the smiles.
Yeah.
Here comes, we look perfect.
Yeah. But angelic.
And now social media, no one's ever going to post on social media their bad news. Everyone's always going to post, here's the good things that are happening. So then we think that the people there don't have the same struggles we have because we only see the good side of other people.
Wow. It's so true. And, you know, so many people, I often tell everyone, don't compare yourself with anybody else, mm-hmm. you know, because everyone's on a unique journey.
Without a doubt.
And of course, you know, we are involved in a lot of different things, and I have a men's group on Friday mornings, and Michael's there, and it's like we talk about the scripture of the upcoming weekend. But, you know, one of the things that evangelization or sharing your faith or being involved, and people go, well, you know, that's not me, or I don't have time for it. But people do something that someone else doesn't do, you know, which is so important. We're so blessed again to have Deacon Dan Diesel with us. We're going to be right back to talk more about this special event, the Camino de Santiago Walk, which is going to be on July 23rd, starting anytime after 5 a.m. and following. Go to their website, which is sdccatholic.org. So we'll be right back. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running back here on Empowered by the Spirit with Deacon Dan Diesel, who is a deacon at Santiago de Compostela in Lake Forest, and we're talking about the Camino de Santiago, and this is an important walk that you can go on, either 4 or 7 miles, on July 23rd. You register again by going to sdccatholic.org. You can get to meet me if you're interested at all, because I will be there. You know, I'm making the commitment right here.
I'm hearing a commitment.
Yeah. Are you
4 miles or 7 miles?
Oh, I have to go 7 miles.
Excellent.
Do you go 7 miles?
Well, because I'm supporting, I do a 4 mile with the volunteers a week before.
Got it.
So we do a walk for the volunteers because unfortunately the volunteers are so busy supporting people between food services, or they may be working a station that they only get to do that one station. We encourage all the volunteers to have a Camino. So we have a volunteer mini Camino the week before.
Awesome.
And so I'll do that one, which is the 4 mile one, because I lead that one.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
and
great.
Then,
that's great.
So we do the 4 miles on that one.
Yeah.
I'd love to do the 7 mile.
Now I imagine people, because I know you have mass 11:30, but people still are coming dress casually.
Oh, it's definitely dress casual.
Yeah.
But no, I think you need to bring your whole diaconate, Al.
Yeah.
Dalmatic.
Yeah, exactly. because bottom line is that July 23rd might be a little toasty, right?
And that's always the challenge, which is why a lot of people want to start at the 5 a.m. And even as you're done by 8:30, you're going to be back at the church by 11. And the nice thing about Southern California is we really don't get hot till midday.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. And but this is so important. Now, we have gone through an awful lot, you know, over the last several years, and we're still going through it. COVID is still with us, and the challenges are still with us. And we had, as a Catholic, as a believer, we had a Supreme Court decision, which was an answer to prayer.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, absolutely incredible, and we feel so blessed. We're not out of the woods yet in this battle for life, but definitely it's a major step forward. But we're living in a world that is polarized, and a world in which people doubt their faith at times and doubt what's going on. And, you know, we have a decreasing attendance at not just the Catholic churches, but everywhere, you know, in terms of people of faith within the Christian world. And I'm sure outside the Christian world, there are more and more people that are atheists. You know, I mean, it's incredible that used to be 98% when some survey started, I think it was in the 40s, said they believe in God. And now it's actually down to like something like 81%. I mean, there's a dramatic reduction in people who even believe God exists, let alone the people that are none of the aboves, you know, and, you know, the challenge with younger people, young adults, and the challenge with everything. Your parish, I think, is the light of Christ, you know, and certainly every parish is to various degrees, but your parish in particular, because of you and your pastor and all the deacons and the priests there. Tell us right now, because this walk, I think, is tied into this subject of really taking a self-examination of where am I at in relationship to Christ, and to be honest with our feelings and to be hopeful. You know, that's a key word.
Well, I think hopeful, I like that word, because that's really ultimately where we wish to end up in the journey. So as we go through the seven stations, you know, as I said, we start with thinking about reflecting on our hurts, maybe thinking of things we shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. But then we reflect more on the things we can do, mm-hmm. the things that the seeds we can plant in terms of that, the way we personally can bring about peace. Mm-hmm. And at the last station, we encourage everybody. We actually have chairs that before you join the festivities and parties, that you spend a few minutes in prayer mm-hmm. and really reflect upon what is God personally calling you. Last Sunday's scriptures talking about the choice of, you know, I love how James and John, James, our patron saint, mm-hmm. wanted to call fire from heaven because these people wouldn't believe.
Just awesome, huh?
But the
poor Samaritans, you know, wipe them off the face of the earth.
Yeah, we don't want them because they don't believe.
Right.
But that's not what Christ calls us to do.
No.
Christ calls us, he invited those other people to come and follow him in different ways. And so how is God calling you? How is God calling each one of us individually in a different, unique way? And that becomes the hope. And that's what we hope, that we pray as we reflect upon putting together our Camino, is how can we help people in their personal journey so that this, when they start at the beginning through the end, that the Spirit has been allowed to work in them and make some difference.
And this is, again, on July 23rd. Please register by going to sdccatholic.org. The buses begin from Santiago de Compostela in Lake Forest, starting roughly at 5 a.m. and then for the next few hours to do the 7-mile walk. You come early, and if you want to do a 4-mile walk.
The first bus for the 4-mile usually leaves around 7 a.m.
Okay, so you're going to still need to get there early. And
we do that early, as we mentioned, is because July is a little hot.
Yeah.
So what we don't want to do is start the walk at 10 or 11 a.m. We want to be done by 10 or 11 a.m. because then we beat the heat.
Now, one of the really important things that we focus on, and obviously the sacraments on this Empowered by the Spirit radio show, and going to daily Mass and obviously receiving the body and blood of Christ daily or as often as you can. But another major theme for us is reconciliation. And this walk has a real feel of self-examination.
And absolutely.
How does reconciliation figure in? Is it offered afterwards? Do you recommend going before you go
you
on
should,
the walk?
Obviously, you should do. We offer, as a parish, offer reconciliation twice a week on a scheduled basis. And our priests make themselves fairly available for reconciliation at other times. But the reconciliation is not tied into the day of the walk, just probably more from a logistical standpoint. It would be difficult to make that happen.
So what reconciliation probably is offered on Saturday, but that's
no, actually, normally it's on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Wow, Wednesdays and Fridays, that's awesome.
Yeah, so
because a lot of parishes are Saturday. So Wednesday at what time?
We do 3:30 to 5:30 on Wednesday,
okay.
And then we do 6 to 8 on Fridays. We just changed our schedule, so I was going to go through my mind and make sure I had the right time.
6 to 8 p.m.
P.M.
Okay. And so that's really a great start then. You could go on July 22nd
mm-hmm.
if you're in that area. or obviously you can go to any parish, Catholic parish,
absolutely,
that, and figure out what time. And parishes often do reconciliations at various times during the week.
Absolutely. So. And in ours is on the Fridays, we tie it into a Eucharistic adoration and holy hour. So we have confession 6 to 8, and then we have a Eucharistic adoration. We pray from 7 to 8,
mm-hmm,
as well as we pray the Rosary, Chaplet of Divine Mercy,
mm-hmm,
and time for silent reflection in the presence of our Eucharistic Lord.
That's great. Now, tell us about the diaconate for you and why you joined and how, of course, this journey, this walk is part of the diaconate mission, right,
yeah,
of outreach. But tell us about that.
Well, the diaconate was something that I was approached several times before I finally accepted. It was kind of like the first couple times that I was approached by different pastors at our parish. I was like, you know, like the first time is you're kidding. The second time is you're looking at the commitment. As you know, Deacon Steve, it's especially in formation, because it's, in our case, it's 5 years of formation in our diocese. And at a time when you're raising a family, when you look at the number of hours necessary, you have to make that balance. Mm. And it really wasn't until things kind of came together that the third time I was asked, that the Spirit actually cleared a couple things in my life that suddenly, like, okay, I now can do it.
Mm.
Should I do it?
Right. Okay.
but because before that, it was always, I had the obvious excuse. I can't do this because there's no way I can make this time commitment.
Right.
Now all of a sudden it's like within a few months that my schedule was changed. I'm like, okay, I can do it now. Well, do I want to?
Mm.
Does the God want me? What is God calling me to do? And to me, the diaconate is not just about us serving on the altar. It's very much about us serving individuals. I personally never realized how much I love to teach. And I have found in the diaconate ministry that so much of it is about sharing our faith, helping others recognize the presence of God. It's about service. I very much recognize and how we go out and serve the community, not just in our parish, but, you know, I'm involved with an organization called Casa Teresa, which is reaches out and helps pregnant women who made the decision to keep their babies, but to give them the support, not just a place to live,
mm,
but recognizing that that time of pregnancy is the time to reform their lives. Because most of the women who are at Casa Teresa, have they themselves been abused? They themselves have come from broken homes, have never had the support, most never graduated high school. So it's using that time of pregnancy and early motherhood to help them get a GED, help them get some job skills, so that what led them in a situation that they did not have a place to stay, they now have the ability to give a home. And being involved in that ministry for many years has been very fulfilling, and I recognize that that's as much as part of the diaconate as what people may see.
And so when you're called to be a deacon, you're called to be a person who is saying yes to Jesus. Still, obviously, you're married, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And how many children?
I have 4 adult children and two grandchildren.
Oh, congratulations.
And 2 dogs.
And 2 dogs. Okay, what kind of dogs?
A golden doodle and a sheep-a-doodle.
Oh, my goodness. That's fantastic. So, you know, you're called to really be that member of the diocese, a member of the parish that is representing, in most cases, marriage and family, and having that an integral part and really a foundation of your faith, you know, is to be that husband that you're called to be. And is your wife involved at all in ministry?
She's not directly involved in ministries, but she's involved in supporting me. She's a little more shy, not someone who'd be very comfortable about being in the forefront, but helps me out a lot in the behind the scenes.
But deacons are called to serve the poor. They're called to make a difference. But something near and dear to my heart is that they're called to evangelize. They're called to spread the good news. And at least in my experience, many parishioners don't, if you ask them what the good news was, you know, some may say, well, I might be good enough to eke my way into purgatory. I mean, they don't really understand the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again, that they may have eternal salvation.
And that's a lot of times the theme of, I try to, when I'm preparing homilies, is how can I help the person make a step?
Mm-hmm.
And pray about, okay, what are these readings first off saying to me? But more importantly, how can I make these real for the people sitting in the congregation? And in the congregation, you've got everyone from people who are on fire from the Spirit to people who may have not been at church for 2 years, and this is their first time in the building. And we have to be just a witness and allow the Spirit to touch them. I'm sure you've experienced this, where people have come up to you after Mass and said, I'm so glad that you said this and it touched me. And I have no recollection that I said that. I go back and listen to the recording, and I didn't say what they said, because God uses us to share that message. And so something that I was able to do, the Spirit was able to touch them in the way that they needed to be touched.
Which is really, really critical, because that's the way the Spirit works. And that's what Jesus does, is Jesus loves us so much that when we put ourselves in that situation to hear his voice, he will talk to us. Tell us, you said you love to teach. What is it that you're teaching?
I just finished teaching our adult confirmation students. I've been teaching over the last few years during the pandemic and even before, but especially during the pandemic, the parents of our faith formation students. One of the things that our faith formation program recognized is that we need to offer the parents catechesis, because a lot of times people don't understand our faith, and not to teach it in such a way that it's like, this is the teaching of the church, but how do we make it real to them? I've had the opportunity to teach Liturgy of the Hours to our future deacons in our parish, teaching how to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. I've taught that a few times. Last year, I had a unique opportunity to actually lead a retreat for deacons in the Diocese of Tucson, their annual retreat.
You're kidding me.
And
how did that happen?
Of course, through Father Thomas, because everything good in my life comes through Father Thomas.
Okay.
No, but basically, their retreat master they had a situation, couldn't attend, and they needed to find someone who could put a retreat together within a couple weeks.
Wow. And how many deacons?
Well, it was part of the, because they split the diocese, that most of the deacons go to one retreat at one end of the diocese, and then the ones that are closer to California come to California for there. So there was about 20 husbands, deacons, and their wives.
Well, that's fantastic. And it was a whole weekend?
It was a whole weekend.
Wow. Yeah, I just led a deacon retreat for the deacon candidates. Of the Diocese of Orange, which there were 21 of them.
Yeah, so it's the first time I'd ever led a retreat for fellow deacons. It was kind of a different experience.
And so what did you do on the retreat?
I ended up focusing, because they actually already had the theme chosen, but I was focusing about the theme that they had chosen was being a deacon in a post-pandemic world.
Mm.
But I really focused on how we're called to make a difference in our congregation. So some of the things some things in workshops, some things in lecture, but mostly around what ideas do we have that we can bring the Spirit back into our parishes, whatever parishes we're ministering in, you know. And, you know, a great example that we talked about too is how many of us rely on so few volunteers, and we say, well, we can't get other volunteers. So how can we empower people, even if we give them an extremely small job, to have more people be invested in what's happening in the parish?
That's fantastic.
But it was about them coming up with things, not me telling them, you will do this, because that's not how a retreat works.
So in the growth that we all have in our journey, because you mentioned every one of us is on a unique journey, what do you recommend for people in terms of growing their faith? No matter where they are, how do they get closer to Christ?
Well, what's the first thing? Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage people to realize that prayer should be a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times we get focused on the formula of prayer. Then we'll, you know, it's like in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. And then we move off to our next activity, not spending the time to listen and recognize what is God calling me in our lives? And I find that that is so much important. And that's the beginning, just to be open. Then what's being open is, what is God calling you to do today? Just a little bit different. You know, it does not need to be a radical change. It can be. I'm not saying it can't be. But don't stress about the radical change. How do you make a little change?
Mm-hmm.
And then allow God's Spirit to coach you. Because if it is of the Spirit, that will you will be affirmed,
mm-hmm.
and it will be encouraged to grow further.
In terms of your own personal faith, tell us about your journey. You're cradle Catholic, for example?
I'm a cradle Catholic.
And were you always really tied into the church?
I was always, yeah. One of the questions that sometimes they're asked is, I never really had a period where I fell out. And I don't think I ever really had a period where I was converted. And there's, it's not like on January 27th, 19, whatever.
Sure.
To me, it was a process. And when I look back on so many things in my life that meant nothing to me at the time,
mm-hmm.
are very much were part of God moving me in different ways and skills that I possess now that I'm older than I was before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, that's fantastic. And how did you make that decision to become a deacon?
Prayer, discussion with my wife. I mean, my wife and I really had to pray about it because mm-hmm. it was not an easy decision. And it's still at times sometimes it's difficult even today because it's a balance. Cause I'm still employed full time. Yeah. And so I still have a job that I love. I've had for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but I also, I have a family and I have church.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, something has to give.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the challenge. And it's really just praying about it. I mean, I use an example during the pandemic. One of my daughters was very concerned about safety, and so we were only able to communicate via Zoom.
Mm.
And the day that she felt she was vaccinated and was safe that we could actually come together, I was scheduled to lead a holy hour at church, and she calls and says, "Can we get together tonight?"
Mm.
And I'm like, "I haven't seen my daughter in, you know what, a year, and she now wants to get together tonight." But God's calling me to minister and lead a holy hour. And so it's like, but I realized then it's not an either or. It's both and. So I went to my daughter's house for 30 minutes, went to church, went back to my daughter's house for several hours.
Amen. Amen. It is a journey in which God will guide us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through prayer, as you mentioned, through the sacraments to getting, and Jesus wants all of us, wants to be close to us. So, we're here talking about this really critical walk, and as we close our show here in a few minutes, tell us again what's happening on July 23rd.
Basically, our parish is having its annual Camino de Compostela, which is a walk that is to emulate what would be a 500-mile journey in Europe. Mm-hmm. We do 4 or 7 miles. We have people come to our parish. We will bus them to a starting point that is either 4 miles or 7 miles away. They have the choice of the two walks. Both the walks are, uphill, so the walk is downhill. We're busing you uphill, so it's downhill. So it's next to a creek, so therefore water fortunately flows downhill.
Awesome.
So, and it's not a steep, it's very, you know, very level, very mm-hmm. small grade.
Mm-hmm.
As each of those stations during there, we rest about every mile, and at the rest, we read scripture, we pray, and we reflect. Mm-hmm. And then as we're walking, we have different walking partners between each one of those stations, probably people that we have not yet met from our community. We come together and we will have a celebratory mass, at 11:30 a.m. Bishop Timothy Fryer will be the presider, and we have the prayer mass, and then we have a luncheon as a parish to celebrate.
And they sign up?
They sign up by going to our parish website, SDC Catholic, Santiago de Compostela, SDCCatholic.org.
And there is a small fee attached.
There's a $20 fee that covers the expenses. The Camino is designed to break even. This is not in any way a fundraiser, just to pay for all the supplies, the food and stuff. And in addition, there will be t-shirts for sale if you wish to wear a t-shirt.
Ooh, nice. And so What do people say about this when they go on it?
Most of the people talk about the fellowship, mm-hmm. talk about their journey, mm-hmm. talk about sometimes people have said that their reflection is there. One thing I left out also is 2 weeks ago, a wonderful priest named Father John Block, retired priest. He's been in our parish for several years, but he passed away.
Mm.
And so at one of the stations, we will be having a silent prayer, reflecting upon all that he's done in our ministry. He's been retired for 20 years, and he's served in several of the different he's lived in several different parishes. He's been in our parish, I think, for 5 or 6 years. And so it's kind of a loss to our community to have someone who's passed away.
Well, God bless him. And
absolutely.
This is incredibly exciting. I plan on being there. Would love to say hi to you. And
if you would like, bring your alb in all seriousness, not for the walk, but please join us at the Mass and help assist Bishop Timothy.
Awesome. That's awesome. So again, thank you so much for letting us know about this very important walk, the Camino de Santiago, and go to their website, sdccatholic.org, to register. And I look forward to seeing you here on July 23rd.
Thank
you for joining us on this Powered by the Spirit show. And could you close us out in prayer?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together on the airwaves as we continue to share your message with the Christian community. Help each one of us grow in our faith and recognize that in growing in our faith, we will see your love and the love of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And maybe we offer a prayer to our Blessed Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Santiago de Compostela, pray for us. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. You've been on Empowered by the Spirit. God bless everyone. We'll be with you next week at the same time. Take care now.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week. Till I am a soul on fire.